is, you know, a fascinating interaction that Siv describes it as almost kind of a tangent, but one that I think plays a major role, ironically perhaps, in terms of the Egel Azov, which is the encounter that we noted between Moshe and Yoshua. So up until now, we've discussed a little bit of Aaron's role, or a lot of Aaron's role, the role that Hur played, right? The Ramban's approach, it wasn't Avodah Zarah, Rashi's approach, the mitigating circumstances, delaying and redirecting, and after all, Hur was killed, so it's not a Devar HaNishma anymore, you know, and many different, you know, elements that factored into Aharon's, you know, sense of utter bitachon, that it will be a chag l'Hashem, batuach haya b'libo shemoshe yered minahar, and all of that. I think that now we're ready to take another step and to look at the role of Moshe and Yehoshua. And I think it's a very fascinating study. So Nachi, if you don't mind, if you could just read the psukim over again in terms of Moshe's interaction with Yehoshua, and then we'll be able to sort of develop the point as we move forward over here.
Okay, that's cool. From Vayidaber Adonai Moshe, Lich Reid Kishichit Amcha Asher Halita Halisa Meretz Mitzrayim. Soro Maher Mina Derech Asher Shivisim. Asu lahem ego masicha vistach v'lov v'zbuchu v'lov v'yomru ela lehecha Yisrael asher halu meretz v'trayim.
Okay, so let's skip down a little bit. So Moshe's got to go down. Vayifan, next paragraph. Vayirid Moshe min ahar v'shnei luchos so'edus biado luchos ksuvim v'shnei Avraham. Go ahead, Nachi.
Sorry, wait, which person did you say?
Just skipping down the next pat paragraph here. Mizel mizehim ksuvim. So it's a remarkable interchange between Moshe and Yehoshua. So Yehoshua, who's camping out, you know, betachte sahar, you know, the faithful attendant to Moshe, and he hears, as kol ha'am bereyo, many of the Mephorshim, including Ibn Ezra, say that's the language of Trua, that there are screams. So, you know, Yehoshua understands that there's some kind of a war going on. And Moshe says that the anos, the language of, you know, la'anot, to answer, the calling and response, it's not a victory and defeat, but it's simply loud shouting, kol anos, anochi shomea. So let's take a look here, you know, in terms of what we can understand about this incident. So Rashi, Shua, go ahead, Rashi says, this is skipping down. This is page 6, so we'll just call this source 1. Okay, Rashi. Bireo,
Bahario, Shayum, Miriam, Usmechim, Beso Hakim.
Right, so this was the orgiastic behavior of the Egel Azav, Ayakumbulit Sachek, in Kol Anos Givura.
In Kol Zenira, Kol Anias Giburim, Hatso Hakim, Nitzachon, Velo Kol Chalashim, Shinut Sakim, Vaya Anusu, Kol Anos. Kol chayrufin megidufin ha'me'ayinin as nefesh shom'an kishne amarin lo.
Right, so they're mecharef and megadef, right? So that's normally associated with blasphemy, but there's this kind of a total sense of disintegration of any moral standards, right? The mob has taken hold. Kol anos anochi shomea. So again, Yehoshua mistakenly identifies this as some kind of a military encounter, and Moshe understands that there's something much deeper and even more disturbing going on. So the Ramban notes, Aval hata'am, Tzvi, go ahead. Aval hata'am, ki Moshe av b'chachmahu. Okay, so maybe Shua will continue and we'll get you in for the next source. Aval hata'am, ki Moshe av b'chachmahu. Right, this is part of Moshe's chachma. After all, he's just coming down from communing with the Kaddish Baruch Hu 40 days and 40 nights. Va'amar ki kol anos hu anishmei lav.
V'kach amru b'hagada. Shamar lo Moshe Misha Tilin Hog
Shrara Yisrael Eino Mavchin
Bein Kol HaKol.
Right, how could it be that Yoshua, you future leader, don't even know what you're hearing? Vine Moshe Ben Vesanuso Hagadola, right, lo Higid Hainin Lahoshua, that he wasn't going to, you know, say to Yoshua, yeah, Hashem already told me exactly what was going on. Lechred Kishi Chesamcha. Right, kilo ratzal esaper begnusan shel Yisrael, avo amar lo kikol schoku. So he felt the need at least to correct Yehoshua, and there's the Ramban notes here, and we'll see that it's amplified by the Hoyamek Davar, that there's a critique here of Yehoshua, that Yehoshua doesn't understand and he doesn't appreciate, you know, what exactly is going on. So the Netziv, Tzvi, you have it? You're back online here? No? Okay, so let's see if you have it. Okay, so let's see if an Oemek Davar hits a similar note, that this is a story that raises questions about Yehoshua and his viability for leadership. Misha asid ligonis Yisrael, linok sraral Yisrael, no mavchin bin kol l'kol. So the Netziv says, okay, this is the Oemek Davar. Anybody have the Oemek Davar?
Oemek Davar, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, the same thing as the Netziv.
So this is like a very telling line in the Tziv. He says, like, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? Right? Shafti vira'a. This is one of two incidents in the Torah where Yoshua is chastised by Moshe. Hainukan, this instance. Uve Eshamar Adoni Moshe Kloim, right? Actually, which parsha? Which parsha? Exactly, this week's Sedra, right? Adoni Moshe Kloim, right? Eldad Umedad Misnabim Amachana. Go ahead, Svi. So Garbo Moshe. Moshe yelled at him.
Umaza Heiro Rabotan Zichron Labracha.
Hanifla, the Masech Spavasra. Right. And again, Ubo Bezahamasha Levoyer, what is this idea? So sometimes people would say that Yoshua, one interpretation of this beautiful medrash is that just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, so too Yehoshua was but a reflection of the grandeur of the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Netziv has a different interpretation of this. Uvo baza mashal levar ki kemo she'ein belovana shum or be'esha chama mizrachas. Right, the moon is only out at night, right, so to speak. Ve'af agav she'edanu she'gam levana nivru lahar mikol makom be'esha chama zrachas eina mishameshes klum be'or kach be'esha yamoshe be'oro. Even though it was known that he would be the future leader, but he couldn't be Meirim Rosh, be Meir Moshe Rabbeinu. As long as the sun is shining, the moon has no use. Until Moshe was ready to die, and the light, so to speak, was transferred from the Shemesh to the Areach. So again, the Netziv is highlighting, I think in a very, very incisive way, the extent to which this story reflects Yehoshua's basic unpreparedness for leadership of Klal Yisrael. And I think the Rashbam, and I'm not even sure this was intended, but he certainly points us into the right direction, Ein Kol Anos Givurav, Ein Kol Anos Chalusha, right, Moshe's critique to Yehoshua. So Chalusha, says the Rashbam, let's throw it over to Kivi, go ahead. So Moshe addressed Yehoshua in language that he thought Yehoshua would understand. And he says, you know, Yehoshua, you're the one that fought the battle against Amalek. V'yachalosh Yehoshua samalek v'samalofi charev. So Moshe said to Yehoshua, Hanan, this is not like that. Ein kol anos givura. Ein kol anos chalusha. This is not the battle against Amalek, Ezra. Vayachalosh Yehoshua samalek v'samalu v'charev. This is kol anos anochi shomea. Yehoshua, stop hearing things the way that you're accustomed to hearing them. This is something new. This is a pirza. This is a new reality. You know, sometimes when you're in a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If you're a military leader, so then everything looks like a battle. In kol anos kivura, in kol anos chalusha, kol anos anochi shomea. Kol anos anochi shomea. So Yoshua is severely chastised. And Moshe says, if your leadership is going to be relevant, if your leadership is going to be meaningful and constructive and productive and successful ultimately for the Jewish people, you're going to have to expand your repertoire. You can't only think in terms of what you know and what you're comfortable with. And not in this parak, but in the next one, I think we find a dramatic response. Let's take a look at this series of psukim. Emmanuel, we'll have you take it away. And this tells us, I think, everything that we need to know, you know, when it comes to who Yehoshua was and how he came to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So the pasuk begins, Vayisnatzu b'nei Yisrael.
Oh, wait, should I read? Or?
Yeah, please. So as described so evocatively in the Gemara and Shabbos, this means that when the Jewish people, you know, did the sin of the Chet HaEgel, it was basically a reversal of Naaseh V'Nishma. They lost the crowns that the Malachim gave them. Basically, it was a moment of terrible degeneration from a spiritual standpoint. Okay, Umoshe.
Umoshe Yikas Erawal V'Nata Lo Michutz HaMachaneh Harchek Min HaMachaneh B'Kara Lo Omoed.
Okay, so before we get to the last pasuk, so we're having here a very important description. So first of all, the Jewish people lose their crowns. Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael said yom mehar choriv. That much is true. Okay, and Moshe takes the ohel moed and he moves it outside of the machane, harchek min hamachane, far away. And the Jewish people are just looking at Moshe as he goes to study Torah, to commune with Hashem. And only, you know, a handful, a select, an elite, the Mevakshe Hashem, you know, they could go and be there in Moshe's presence and learn. So Shimon, what's sort of the common denominator between these things? The Jewish people lose their crowns. The Ohel is taken out of the center of the camp. It's outside of the camp. Vibitu kolam achrei Moshe. The Jewish people are passive. What are we basically describing? What's the phenomenon that we're describing here?
It kind of seems like we're showing how, like in both stories, the like Moshe was on the higher level than Yoshua, but really on a higher level than all of Israel. Through like, and we can see that through like his actions. Like besides the fact that he's communicating with Hashem, which is obvious. Also, the fact that like he like destroys the in the first story, in fact, he destroys the Egel. In the second story, in fact, he like moves the Ohel.
Okay, good. So I think that's all true. I mean, I think that's an important point. Okay, but and there's no question that Moshe was elevated far above the Jewish people. But what more can we say? Emmanuel? What more can we say about this?
That maybe it wasn't that Moshe was elevated, it was just that the Jews went to like a lower level, like they were very holy, and then they went down, like they lost their crown. Like,
you hit the nail on the head. I know there's a lot of hammer and nail imagery today, but you hit the nail on the head. That this is about the spiritual desiccation of the Jewish people. They lose their crowns. They lose the presence of the Ohel Moed and the Machane. They're passive. V'hi bitu acharei Moshe. The most they can do is to bow down from a distance. V'yishtachva merachok. Right? The Jewish people are in a state of alienation. There's Hester Panim, right? The Jewish people are in many ways cut off from Hashem, right? They're in a state of nizifa, of nizof, and they are cut off. And you know, Moshe, you're right, Shimon, he is elevated above the rest of this, but the Jewish people are suffering the consequences of the Egel Hazav. That's really the context here. But within that context, Yehoshua, and again, this is what the Netziv had, and to a certain extent the Ramban as well. Now let's take a look at that last pasuk and see what Yehoshua's response is to that trenchant critique. In kol anos kivura, ve'in kol anos chalusha, kol anos anochi shomea. So, Hanan, maybe you'll read that last pasuk for us. And I think it's a dramatic pasuk. And I think it's a pasuk that has, you know, an enormous amount to contribute to our general understanding.
The last source.
Vayidaber Hashem Moshe panim el panim.
Kasher yidaber ish el rehehu v'shav el hamachneh u'mishartoh Yehoshua ben Nun nar lo yamish mitoch ha'olah.
So let's understand the pasuk kipshuto, and then let's like reflect on this. And I think it's an amazing, amazing phenomenon. So kipshuto, what is going on here? Right, Moshe's level has not, you know, been degraded in any sense. He's still speaking to Hashem panim el panim, kasher yidaber yishal rehehu, as if they're having a social conversation. Then the shavel amachane el mishar so Yeshua ben Nunar lo yamish mitocha ohel. What's going on here? What's that last part of the pasuk about? I mean, I think it's as dramatic gets. Hanan, what's going on in the last part of this puzzle?
It seems like Yehoshua is now, closer, or before we saw like how Yehoshua wasn't really able to understand what was going on, but now it seems like maybe his leadership is, or something is changing with Yehoshua. He's going on a higher level maybe, or?
Well, yeah, and I just, if you don't mind, put it in very precise terms. A contrast between Moshe and Yehoshua. Again, nobody could be on Moshe's level. You know, panim al panim kasher yedaber yishal reyehu.
But Yehoshua was in the tent with Moshe.
Good. But maybe could we go even half a step further, Eitan? I think we could go half a step further.
And we could say that maybe he's like separated from Bnei Israel and Kedusha now.
Sariel? Just a half a step further. Sharpen it a little bit.
Not sure.
Shimshi?
I would just say that despite the fact that he was just reprimanded, he's staying closer to Moshe to like fix the fault that was pointed out to him.
There's no doubt that Yehoshua redoubles his efforts. Mishar so Yehoshua bin Unar lo yamish mitocha oel. But you might even go just a quarter step further. You got us another half of the way there. So thank you, Shimshi. But Aiden contrasted to Moshe. So Moshe dabar sham panim opanim kashri dabar yishal reyehu. Then, you know, we go, Yehoshua ben Nar lo yamish mitocha oel. Yehoshua ben Nun, who's a Nar, he's already over 50 years old, right? So, you know, but nonetheless, he has a sense of being a Nar, a sense of being, you know, the disciple of Moshe, lo yamish mitocha oel, But what's that intervening clause, and what does it establish? And I think this is what we need to understand about Yehoshua's response.
It says Mishartel, Moshe.
Right, but he was like, already Misharis Moshe, right? That's why he was camping, you know, Betachta Sahar. What's that? Just look at the words that we haven't talked about yet. Kasher Yedaber Yishal Re'ehu, pause, and then, you know, Mishar So Yeshua Benar, Lo Yamish Mito Chowel.
That he had to go back, like it points out that he had to
change. Who went back? Good, Ezra. That Moshe v'shavel amachane. So now Yehoshua and his dedication to, you know, finding a different level, digging deeper within himself. Lo yamish mitocha. Moshe has national responsibility right now. So Moshe's v'shavel amachana. So Shimshi now put it together. It's not just that Yehoshua is, you know, generally speaking, looking for a way to grow and to expand himself, and not hearing everything in terms of the hammer and the nail metaphor, right? In terms of military confrontation, and kolanos kivurabin, kolanos chalusha, kolanos anochi shomeya, but that Yehoshua realizes, if I ever want to get to where Moshe is now, what do I have to do?
He has to never leave the tent, and he has to not interact with, like, Bnei Israel, really, which is kind of counterintuitive if you're going to try to be a leader of the people, to be constantly separated, but still, like, to be constantly where Moshe is and constantly in the All-Knowing, as opposed to with the nation who has just sinned and were just stripped of their spiritual connection.
Exactly. He realizes that he's got to put in more time right now than even Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe has to be Shavu'el Machaneh. He has Tarchei Tzibor, his national responsibilities. But Yehoshua says, if I am going to grow in the way that I need to grow, because I misheard things, Kol Milchama B'Machaneh, then I need to be putting in even more time. No Tzerteina Yochal Pirya. You know, when Yehoshua becomes the leader, you know, Hashem says, well, he's the one that put in the time. Right? And that's an amazing thing. And you're right, Shimshi, there is something a little bit counterintuitive about it. So what we see here, I think, is Yehoshua understanding that there was a great need for personal growth. And that's also one of the legacies of the entire story, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, of the Egel Azav, is the reformation of the Machaneh. Right? What we have is Yehoshua taking the gauntlet which has been laid down and said, I need to take things to a different level. I must take things to a different level. Umishar so Yehoshua ben Unar lo yamish mitoch ha'oel, and that's a response to that trenchant critique. Mi sheno yoch lahavchin ben kol lekol yanig svara atzibur. Right? But it's not going to be limited to the ascendance of Yehoshua, who took this as a moment, even though he personally wasn't involved in the sin. But he took this as a moment to understand that he too needed to grow. But as a general matter, right, there's going to be reformation of national leadership. And of course, who and what am I referring to? It's not going to just be Yehoshua that emerges, but in place of the Bechoros, who are we going to have? The Leviim. And the Mila Hashem Eli. So what we have is, we have a moment of defining choices, and we have a moment of separation, and we have a moment of realignment. And there's the Mila Hashem Eli, which is Shevet Levi, and Yehoshua, and we'll talk about that more tomorrow. And then we have people who went exactly in the opposite direction. And so what we see here is that the Chida Eagle was a calamity. And Hashem's presence to the Jewish people was at least temporarily diminished. As we had spoken about, it's not just Hashem, but it's now going to be the Malach. There was all of that. But in the cataclysm, as is the case in every cataclysm, and in the rubble, new things emerge. Right, where there's destruction, they call this capitalism, when you have this kind of competitive destruction that takes place, so new businesses, new industries, everything emerges, there's these realignments that go on. The Chida Egel is a calamitous moment, but it's a realignment of the Jewish people, and that realignment includes Yehoshua understanding that he was going to have to demand more of himself to expand his emotional spiritual bandwidth. It can't be just kol milchama b'machana, even though war will always be part of Yehoshua's legacy, kibush and chilo ka'aretz, but he's going to need more if he ever wants to get to where Moshe is. And in addition to that, of course, we have Bnei Levi as well, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, as a way of concluding the discussion.